This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody, this is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another week's episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Now, before we get into the question of the moment, let's talk a little bit about the week. What's up with the week?
We got to decide what new book we're going to write.
We have an embarrassment of riches. We've got
a whole list of titles we're stewing about.
Oh gosh, that's a second question. Well, yeah, that's it. That's a good one to start with right there. Titles are an issue, and you know, I didn't really appreciate that until I was an author.
Titles are the worst. Because if you don't have the right title, nobody ever reads your book.
Well, it's almost like you've come up with the world's greatest cookie, but the thing that's hanging you up is the packaging.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That's really what it is. That's that outer skin that the consumer is going to pick up, look at it, and say, this looks interesting.
Every time you say, what are we going to call it? I'm just like, shoot me. Just shoot me.
Well,
it's horrible.
Let's see. The last book was not the worst. The second book was the worst, and we had 164 different titles to work with.
Yeah.
So, everybody pray for us, please, because we're trying to choose a title for this one.
Well, we've got to choose a title for the book we just finished.
Yep.
And then we've got to choose which book we're going to work on next, because this is our writing retreat. And we are trying to get a book started. And we've got to decide which one. We've got several we're interested in doing.
Well, and there's several that our readers and listeners have said they were interested in, too.
Yeah.
So it's not just our own pipe dream. It's something that there seems to be questions and requests and demand and everything else. And so,
well, the one we just finished is about parenting preteens. If you've got any title ideas, post them now. Right now. Help us out. Help a girl out.
Yeah.
Okay. We're also thinking about writing one about the transition to adulthood.
Yep.
Our kids want us to write one about finding a mate because, boy, there's a lot of confusion out there. People at both extremes of how to handle this process.
Well, and we've written about that and some other things, like our book, Love, Honor, and Virtue.
Yeah.
You know, while we talk about sexual purity and morality and all the challenges that guys in particular are facing, we do have a chapter in there to talk about building strong, healthy, proper relationships with young women.
We're also thinking about writing a book about how to raise those difficult kids. We've had a couple of the just super passionate kids that are so hard to deal with. But you know, this is going to be somebody great one day if I live through it. If they live through it. Yeah.
Yeah. If we all survive the experience, then this is going to have a good outcome, we hope. So.
And hey there, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I love for y'all to make comments while we talk because it's fun. And because we're talking together, it doesn't distract us. So go ahead. Talk all you want.
Right. So so for the benefit of our podcast listeners, this is also going out as a live vlog on Facebook. And so there's a video portion, which if you're a Facebook follower, you might be seeing. And for those of you who are watching on Facebook,
this is also our podcast, which posts tonight. If you haven't listened to our podcast, we've got over 170 episodes out there. You can find us on iTunes, or you can go to our archives at halandmelanie.com/radio.
Well, and the nice thing about that is that you can subscribe to the podcast, and it will download automatically to your reader. And so you have all of that access right at your fingertips, just a few taps away. Yeah. So
today we're going to be talking about what do you do with teenage guys who just don't want to get their schoolwork done? You know, in the past few weeks, I've talked to so many moms who have just thrown up their hands and said, you know, I've been homeschooling him all his life, but I'm going to put him in school. I can't handle it anymore.
You know, I remember many years ago, we kind of noticed that there seemed to be a revolving door about the eighth grade that we met lots of families who had started homeschooling their children from the beginning, and they got up to eighth grade and they said, okay, there's just too much for us to handle. High school it is. And so they were, they stopped homeschooling, put their kids in the school system there at eighth or ninth grade. But by the same token, we saw a fair number of families whose kids had been in a school system of one sort or another, and they looked over the horizon just up ahead to see, the local school system for high school, and they said,
I'm going to pull them
option.
Out. And so middle school, we see people starting to homeschool, and we see people pulling their kids out to homeschool, and they're putting them back in.
Well, you know what that's telling me? That's telling me there's a something happening in the middle school years with the student that is making parents look at each other and say, maybe there's a better option.
Yes, maybe there's something better to do. And y'all, that's it. The issue is not that what you're doing is wrong, that your school setting is wrong. The issue is that it's just really, really, really hard to help your kids through the middle school years academically. Why?
I'll tell you why. Okay, let me use an analogy. Okay, picture a nice broad river up in the hills, and it's flowing so nicely through that river valley, and then it hits a stretch of rapids. There's white water. And for a mile or two there, it's tumbling over the rocks, and there's spray, and there's whirlpools, and all this stuff. But then below that, it settles out, and it flows quietly through the plains. You know what? Your child's life is kind of like that river, and it's going to be more stable, I think, for a time until they get up to 9 or 10 or 11 years old, and then suddenly you're in the middle of the rapids.
Yes.
And the thing of it is, when your canoe gets pulled into that vortex, you're just thinking moment by moment, what's the next rock?
How do I survive? How do I stay alive?
And it's very hard for you, and it's very hard for your canoe, your child,
look
ahead.
It's a time of transition, and that's the truth. Just like going from the mountains to the flatlands, it's a time of transition. It's the rapids of life.
Mm-hmm.
The preteen years, they're going through so many changes. They're going through emotional changes. You know, they've got up to 50 times the estrogen and testosterone that they will as adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonder they're not crazy. And they're going through intellectual changes. Their brains are literally remodeling. They change. Their ganglions come undone, and they're literally remodeling their brains, and that makes them distracted and addled and irritable and hard to get along with. And the combination of the two can destroy their academic confidence. And it makes them, who wants to do something they're a failure at?
And, you know, on top of that, too, you've got to realize there's a lot of social changes going on. There's emotional,
definitely,
you know, their own skills and confidences, you know, just people in society is changing. And so this is not really prime time to make a radical change in the course of your educational choice.
Yeah, because,
you know, I would say just because they're so unstable at this point. And you make a change to adapt to that instability, what happens when they do level out? You're going to be in the wrong place then.
And oftentimes, it doesn't help. You know, it doesn't help to put them in school or whatever. They've still got the same issues. Because the problem is not what you're doing, parent.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is what they're going through. And that is, it's hard. Because you just want it to go away. You know, they're hard to get along with. It takes them 3 hours to get math done. You just want it to go away. So what can you do? Well, there's a bunch of stuff you can do, thankfully. So don't despair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get through this with them. But the first thing is understand that what the changes they're going through emotionally and intellectually and often spiritually, too. They're often experiencing spiritual doubts, as we talked about last week.
Yeah.
That those changes they're going through affect their schoolwork big time, big time.
And, you know, this is something we point this out in some of our webinars. This is just a fact that about fourth grade or fifth grade in the school systems, that is typically a catch-up year.
Yeah.
They're not adding new material. They're not branching out into new frontiers of knowledge. They're just trying to keep everybody going.
And often so is seventh grade. So why would they have two catch-up years in just 4 or 5 years? It's because these kids struggle. That struggle during these years is normal,
mm-hmm.
that it's expected, that it's because of what's going on with their emotions and in their brains to prepare them for adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's not your kid and it's not you. That's the good news. Now, mm-hmm. I know you're saying, well, that doesn't help. How do I get through it? So let's talk about how to get through it. The first thing is understanding, because when you understand what they are going through, then it makes it you take it less personally. It's not like, he's doing this to me again, and it helps you to keep your temper. And so for me, just knowing that it was because of what's going on in their bodies and their brains helped me so much, because, you know, veins stand out, temper, I would lose it. And so it really helped me just to say, okay, this kid can't help this.
Well, that's just it. Like they say in Texas, he can't help it. Poor thing. Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's where he's at.
So, bless his heart.
First of all, the first thing you can do to help it is to learn how to interact with him. Your parenting has got to change during this stage. With a 7-year-old that sasses you, you say, meet me in the laundry room. You go apply some biblical discipline and go through the forgiveness process, and you're good to go.
Right.
You try that with an 11 or 12-year-old, you're talking World War III.
It's not going to be as effective because they're not as easily molded. You know? Yeah. They're starting to think differently and respond differently. That's the whole thing in it. They don't respond to me like they used to. Well, doubling down on what you used to do is not going to work because you're not dealing with the same child in some ways.
And we don't really have the time today to go into that because we want to talk more about the academics.
Right.
But we'll give you some resources where you can find out more about that. But the big thing is you have got to keep your temper because somebody's got to be the adult around here, and it's not going to be them.
Mm-hmm.
So, job one, understand what's going on and change your parenting to fit it.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, there's several things that you can do to get through this. First of all, you've got to get through the day-to-day. And right. So, how can you motivate this guy to care? You know, because a lot of times by this point, he's shut down. He doesn't think academics is for him.
Well, okay. There's a couple of different approaches, and they're kind of like almost philosophically opposed, but I think they're both appropriate at different times. One of them is to take a page out of the Unschooler's Journal and to say, let's try a little delight-directed learning. To say, okay, this is a boy who's lost traction. He's finding school is just very hard to get motivated, or he's just not feeling it anymore. Well, let's find something that he's interested in, because you know what? If you just think about what your son is interested in, it may be snakes, it may be professional hockey, it may be
Raptors,
cars, you know, whatever.
Football, rocket science, it might be Minecraft.
It could be anything, but you find something he's interested in, won't he just devote himself to it like he was studying for the law exams? I mean, like he's studying for the bar or something? Yeah, because it just grabs his imagination. So, okay, start to pull some of that stuff in there. You know, if you need a writing prompt for something, then tailor it to an issue he's interested in.
Yes, because kids this age tend to get obsessive about things.
Yeah.
You know, they have certain things they're interested in, usually things you are not interested in. And they obsess about them.
And I'll tell you what, they will make themselves experts in the topic. You know, and that's an amazing thing. And that also proves they can learn. And they will learn when they have the motivation.
Now, here's the trick, though.
Yeah.
You have to take them seriously. And that's really hard because usually they will say something that, you know what, just doesn't suit real life. We had a son who was obsessed with raptors. He wanted to be someone that
he wanted to become a falconer.
He wanted to be a falconer. That's he wanted to have raptors. Yeah. We're on the road most of the months of the year.
I mean, we can't.
This is impossible.
We have trouble finding a babysitter for our dogs. I mean, we're not. Somebody's going to babysit a falcon.
Oh,
I mean, it's just not.
Man, and it was so happen. Hard for me to be patient, but I realized that I had to be.
Yeah.
Because this is what he was interested in. This is what he loved, and by joining him in that love, by listening to him, by asking him what he would, by asking him to tell me about it.
Well,
first of all, I gained his trust. And secondly, I was able to engage that passion in other things. Okay, you know, you're struggling with not wanting to read. Let's buy you some books about raptors. Now you may be thinking, but you don't understand. All my son cares about is Minecraft. You can still get him to write essays about Minecraft. Get him to do projects about it. You've got to use what they're interested in to build trust with them by showing your interest in them and to get them interested in schoolwork. That's not the only way. to keep them interested though.
Well, another thing, and this works a little better when with the older ones, is to kind of go the opposite direction and say, well, what do you want to do with your life? Because right now, you know, you are filling up your toolbox for the work that you're going to do. And, you know, as I've heard you say to our kids, I already know how to do algebra. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. You're the one who needs to know algebra because you use it in daily life and because you said that you want to do something that is going to require more than four function arithmetic.
Now, let me tell you how to do this, though. If they're less than about 16, maybe even 17, don't expect them to say something sensible. Okay.
Well, they'll say things that maybe are not realistic for their talents or budget or anything else.
I want to be a rocket scientist. I want to program video games. Very typical.
Well, that's
thing.
A common one, sure.
Okay, so what do you do then? You take them seriously. Say, really, that's an interesting job. You know, wow, there's a lot of competition though, to do a job like that. So let's go look at the requirements to get into, say, Stanford's program for people who want to learn that stuff. And you go online and you look at those things and you say, oh my goodness, wow, you know, well, you're gonna have to have calculus to do that, and so let's work it back. You're gonna have to have pre-calculus and algebra 2 and geometry and algebra. Man, you better get busy on your math. You see, the thing is, you want to make it their problem, not yours.
You're making it relevant, and that's a big thing for guys. Guys have got to know, is this going to be on the exam? Does it matter to my future? Am I going to care one way or another once I've learned this? And the answer is, oh yeah, the stuff you're learning right now is definitely stuff that you need to know.
And yes.
So we need to find ways to make it relevant to them, whether it's to say, you can't get into that college, you won't get a scholarship if you don't have this, or to say, well, you know, this is how you're going to use this tool in that career field, you know.
Yeah, so. And so help them to get the long picture. You know, guys really want to look forward to the future, so you want to help them to look forward to what they want to do with their lives. Mm-hmm. Because from the preteens to teens, they're not super interested in, I need to do this because mama wants me to do it.
Right. That's one of the big changes.
Are more motivated by that. Our guys are not.
Well, that's one of the big changes that's going on. You know, that their compliance level is not what it used to be.
And it's really easy to start thinking, okay, you know, well, this guy just doesn't listen to me anymore. I can't teach him anymore. I'm going to put him in school. The problem is he's going to have the same problems in school that he's having at home. Because the problem, like we talked about in part one of this, in the earlier section, is this is what's going on in his brain and in his emotions, and it's not based in reality.
Well, okay? and see, what he doesn't realize is that, you know, if he doesn't like doing schoolwork because mama's teaching him, then he may find himself doing schoolwork for people who don't love him,
yes,
who don't make the kind of allowances. You know, the thing I heard a pastor say one time, and I think about it a lot, was the rebellious young man said, well, I've fixed him. Nobody's going to tell me what to do now. I said, what did you do? He said, I joined the Marines. So there. Whoa. Okay.
Well,
so, you know, got to say, okay, if you don't like to do your schoolwork now when it's mom who's teaching you and, you know, the consequences are not going to, you know, do you think it's going to be easier for you to like your homework when you're doing it for somebody that you don't like, somebody who doesn't really like you, somebody that, you know, there's a lot of options out there and they're not all positive, son. And so you have to, sometimes you have to do some reality check on that.
So.
All right.
What do you do? Well, okay. So we talked about a couple of things. You're going to look for what he's interested in and incorporate his obsessions into his schoolwork. Have him writing about them, reading about them, doing projects about them, learning about them, the things that he's interested in, even if they don't make much sense to you.
Yeah.
You're going to show interest in them because you're interested in your boy. And you showing interest in them is going to build relationship. And relationship's critical during this stage, okay?
And remember, it's like, remember that river analogy. They are in a stretch of white water in an otherwise smoothly flowing river. And so this is not a permanent thing. What they're saying right now is not permanent. What they see of the future is not a permanent viewpoint either. You are just trying to get through the next few years.
And you're going to help him look toward the future, but that's not all you're going to do, okay?
No.
Because there's some things you need to do about school right now. First of all, you need to be careful not to tear down his academic confidence. It's really frustrating because kids this age will interrupt themselves. They're so addled. You know, I had a son that would say, that came, I remember this like it was yesterday. He came up and he said, Mama,
what?
How do I do this problem? Okay. How do I divide 2,846 by 78? What is that bird doing out there?
What? You just interrupted that yourself.
What? Yeah, you were asking about math. Yeah. They're totally addled. And so you need to relax your expectations a little bit and recognize that their brains are actually changing. Their brains are actually changing, and they really can't concentrate. They can't. They don't have the focus that they do when the when they're 8 years old. You know, it's very tempting to say, "I know you can do this because you could do this when you're eight." No, they really can't.
Yeah, I mean, they did do it then, and they can't do it now, and it's not necessarily their fault. You know.
Yeah. And so because the part of their brain that controls the executive functions, focus, priority setting, attention, problem solving, all these things, remember we talked about in the last session, really unravels. So they can't. So they may need more supervision. They may need you to do some with them. Like I've had a child get bogged down in the stage and say, okay, come sit down. Let me do your math with you. Because he really can't. He forgets basic things that he's known for years. The multiplication facts, it's just that because of the brain remodeling he's going through, his brain can't access it as easily. And so you're going to help him. Get him next to you, just like he was 7 years old again. Help him through it. It may only be a few days, you know, that it's at the worst, but you're going to help him get through it because you have to preserve his academic confidence. When he says, I'm just stupid, which they all say at this stage, you got to say, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're a really bright kid. You're going through a lot of changes right now. Don't worry. You're going to get your feet under you. It's going to come back.
Yeah. And so that's an important thing to remember. And that's an important thing to remember for your parenting, too, that, you know, you're not always going to be in a state of turmoil with this person. And so, you know, you do need to figure out a way to get through the rocky parts here. But there will come a time very shortly when things will stabilize and they'll be more predictable. And more
manageable.
manageable is a good word, yeah. So that's a good thing to remember too. Now,
you know,
some other things come into though. This is not just the preteens, you know, not just the early adolescents. Sometimes it's the older kids too. I think we can be honest with our kids. I mean, most of us went through the public school systems, and I think if we honestly look at it, we'd have to say it wasn't always bad. No more than it was always good. It was a mixed experience. And on the balance, we think that the choice for homeschooling is a better choice now for our children. That just says nothing about what we went through. But we can be honest with our kids to say, you know what? Yeah, there are some things that maybe, you know, you might look forward to. But let's look at the reality of it. The reality of it, we forget. I mean, I think we parents forget, and our kids have never experienced it, the unbelievable freedom we've got as home educators, that we set our schedules. I mean, just that alone, that we choose today we're going to have a field trip, or we're going to take a snow day today, or maybe we're going to work on Saturday so we can take all next week or something.
Or the freedom for our kids this age to start businesses and to pursue their own interest is a lot higher when you're at home. And so that's an advantage if you are homeschooling, to keep them home during this period, because there's just so much more freedom and ability for them to do things. You know, another thing it is to, when they're in those first couple of years of adolescence, when they're really, they're angry a lot, they're sad a lot, you're struggling with it, if you need to cut down school to basics, do so. You know, you've got to get through it. You know, try to make the history, science, those things more fun because they're going to really struggle with the main stuff.
Yeah.
And then look forward to the high school years. This is something I wish I had really understood when our boys were early teens, is that boys go through a mental growth spurt when they're in their mid to late teens. And it's amazing. I mean, it's really seriously amazing. A kid that you're thinking, I hope he can get a job flipping hamburgers one day, will be reading Ancient Philosophers when he's 17. I mean, seriously. It's yes. amazing. We've seen it happen. And so, don't give up and don't let them give up when they're 12, 13, 14, and they're struggling and school is so hard.
You could just acknowledge that's real. The struggle is real. It does feel harder to you right now. It is more difficult for you right now. It's not going to be that way forever.
And help them to have hope. You know, to say, look, yeah. honey, you don't understand. It's going to get so much easier. This is going to get so much better. And that's why you've got to preserve their academic confidence. Because so many boys don't even try. They don't even try when they get into high school because they're convinced they're stupid and the academics is not for them.
And you need to be careful that they have not gotten that message. That and it may be
it's because so
you because you lost your temper and said something that really, you know, tore down their confidence. It could be a sibling has been, you know, needling them and teasing them and talking them down. Or it could be that they've heard it, you know, anywhere. It could be in a co-op group. It could be in when they were in the school system before you took them out. You just need to be careful because they're really susceptible to that message. They're really susceptible to taking that. Somebody said I was dumb. Somebody said I was stupid. Therefore, I must be worthless. And yeah. it's not true. And so you got to be real careful with that and do everything you can to encourage and to build them up and to challenge them at appropriate levels to say, you can do this. You know?
With every one of our teens, school was horrible at that, you know, late preteen, early teen years. It mm-hmm. was horrible. And yet by the time they were juniors and seniors in high school, it was so amazing what they were doing. It was such a thrill.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't despair. Don't let them despair. It's going to be okay. It really is. And they're going to amaze you what they're able to do. I mean, honestly, I could not believe the difference in our boys between 13 and 17. Absolutely unbelievable. And so don't give up at 13 or 14. Hang in there.
And don't make any irrevocable decisions at 13.
Yeah.
Don't make anything that, don't set anything in stone at that age. Because
yeah. Don't decide because we're going for the basic diploma because you don't know what they're going to be able to do at 17. Boys hit that academic growth spurt.
Yeah.
It's something.
Yeah.
It is so, really something.
So we do want to encourage you on that.
Yeah, I do want to tell you that if you're interested in this, if you've got boys in that preteen or early teen stage, you're thinking, what on earth has happened to them? We just started a new session of our Boot Camp 9 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's an online class series. We did the first one last Thursday, but you can sign up anytime and watch the recording mm-hmm. and join in with us live this Thursday. Mm-hmm. And this Thursday, We're talking about school.
For
a whole hour. We're going to talk about how do you get them through the preteen years? Mm-hmm. How do you prepare them for high school? Right. How do you do high school?
And then we're taking questions.
And then we'll take questions
yep.
live. So you can ask us as many questions as you want. We'll hang around and answer them.
Okay. And so if you're interested in that and you're listening, this is we're recording this in mid-August. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you are hearing this and interested, come out to our website, raisingrealmen.com. And go
slash
to the store.
Bootcamp.
That's slash easy. Bootcamp. Go directly.
And listen, if you're not watching this or listening to it, because we're mm-hmm. recording this for our podcast too,
right.
in August, you can sign up anytime and watch the recordings, even if we don't have a live session, and then you can join us at the next live session.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Bootcamp 9 to 12 would be a huge help to you. We talk about how to deal with them emotionally, how to mm-hmm. discipline them, how that has to change, what their spiritual doubts, academics, purity and internet issues, how to help them start businesses and learn about that, and coming of age ceremonies and how to help them see themselves as young adults. It's really, mm-hmm. really useful. So,
now, anything else we'd like to tell them about that?
I think that's it. If you want to support us, keep our ministry going, you can go to patreon.com/HalandMelanie. And as always, head over to our blog and store, raisingrealmen.com.
We do appreciate you joining us here. We want to say hello to all our friends on Facebook, as well as our regular podcast listeners. And both of you, we want to encourage you, come out to iTunes and subscribe. That's
yes.
the way to make sure you get it and don't miss a thing. Or subscribe to our newsletter. There's a new button on the show page. Go to howlandmelanie.com/radio, and you'll see the button right down there where you can get our newsletter and keep all the updates coming in.
Yeah, keep the encouragement coming. So good to talk to y'all. I'm Melanie.
And I'm Hal.
Bye, y'all.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at howlandmelanie.com. That's howlandmelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.